This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
This idea of the ferocious Buddha is the answer to half the questions I get asked. And it's a great recommendation. How do I detach from outcomes? Most of us want to be able to control our outcomes. We want to have some input in our outcomes. We want to have the results that we want when we want them. And this is a human impossibility. Now, what influence or influence do we have on outcomes? Well, the outcomes that we get to experience in our lives in order for us to feel as if we have control of those outcomes, we have to feel somehow that those outcomes are for our better life, our better purpose, to put us in a better place, a better position. And in order to believe that, you have to have faith. And so the first thing about being a ferocious Buddha is you have to live in faith. You have to have faith that you do not understand outcomes. You do not know what they mean. You cannot see how outcomes today are for your better life. And in order to be a ferocious Buddha, you have to detach from your outcomes on the sense of faith. You can have goals and objectives and all these other trajectories, but you have to realize that regardless of the attention that you pay for what you want and the intention of what you do and say and feel and believe, that the outcomes that occur today are for your betterment. And that's what faith is. Faith is that I do not understand how blank is for my betterment, to put me in a better place, a better situation. I don't understand how that could be. Well, in order to do so, to have that control, number one, to be a ferocious Buddha, you have to live in faith, whether it's spiritual faith, religious faith, philosophical faith, theoretical faith, but you have to believe that there is something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom. And although you don't understand or know how blank could actually help you get to be one or better, in order to do that, there is no other way other than having faith. And so if you don't have faith, if you don't believe in something bigger than you, that loves you, protects you, and promotes you more than your mom, ask yourself, what do I believe? What do I believe that's the indicator of the lessons that I learned? That is the inspiration of what I do, say, think, feel, and believe. What do I believe that is not faith? What is it? Is it better than thinking that there's something bigger than you, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, unified system that is protecting, promoting, and loving me? And so I want to reiterate, which by the way is something that is annoying, to be so repetitive. And you know, the two things that stop us from being good teachers, mentors, coaches, good parents, is that in order to be a good teacher, mentor, or coach, in order to be a good parent, you have to do two things that are annoying, right? You have to, one, tell the truth about the situation, expertise, or topic. And two, which is really annoying to whether you do it to yourself or to others, but even more importantly, you have to be repetitive agnosm, because that's the way human consciousness learns those lessons that indicate that you have a better place to be. So this faith that there's something bigger than you is the first thing you need to have in order to be a ferocious Buddha. in order to detach from the outcomes that you think you want. Instead, have faith that all outcomes of today are promoting, protecting, and loving you, pushing you towards something bigger and better. And the faster you find the light, the love, and the lessons and the outcome that you don't understand or know, the greater the acceleration and exponentiality of those outcomes will be. And so indicated within being a ferocious Buddha, you have to have faith. That will then lead to giving you control. And the control that we institute as ferocious behavior is that we pay attention to all the activities in our day and we give it our intention. We're very intentional about doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing in a direction towards where we want to be or better with that faith and divine time, which incorporates faith. So not only must you have faith, but in order to have control, we have to be ferocious and intentional. Those are synonyms in my mind. Those people that are intentional are ferocious. They're productive, accessible, and gracious with their time. And they are faithful with the outcomes because what you pay attention to, what you focus on, and what you do, say, think, feel, and believe towards what you want or better, what I call in a divine direction, incorporating faith, and divine time, incorporating faith into the dependent variable of your day, which is 24 hours a day, will equal the outcomes that you want in your life or better. It will coincide the ferocious with the Buddha. It will coincide the body and the mind. It'll coincide everything and everyone of more than enough of everything and everyone. It will coincide at all. It is no coincidence. Yes, it is. It's coinciding. So number one, to be a ferocious Buddha, you have to have faith. Two, the control that you have of your outcomes is through what you're paying attention and giving intention to, utilizing divine time, dependent variable, and faith to get you where to what you want to be or better. What causes the dis-ease that we feel? It's by attaching our attention and intention to an outcome that we have no control over or we don't understand or know. And so in the context of detachment, it confuses people on being ferocious and allowing things to happen, surrendering, all of those terminologies that seem to be very passive. It's actually one of the most aggressive or ferocious behaviors is to clear away the dis-ease that's caused by attaching to the non-truth or the illusion that we can control outcomes and get exactly what we think we want. Instead, incorporating faith and control of attention and intention, we now know that every outcome is for our betterment and that we are in control by doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing in a trajectory of divine direction in divine time. And the dis-ease that we feel, the interference between us and what we want or better, simply the attachment of our intentions to an outcome that we don't actually know or understand. And so how do we understand this anti-human idea of detaching and looking at how to become a ferocious Buddha? The first step in detachment so that we don't get interference or dis-ease when outcomes are not aligned with where we think we want to be or be, we don't understand or know how losing everything or breaking up with someone or getting into a car accident or any other thing that may happen, any dis-ease that is not aligned with where you think you want to be or better, how can that actually help us get to where we want to be? And it's being a ferocious Buddha, keep on paying attention and giving intention to where you want to be or better by learning and finding the light, the love, and the lessons through gratitude, forgiveness, and of course, the search is creating accountability. So the first thing that we want to do is be self-compassionate. Self-compassion is something a lot of people have difficulty with. It identifies our fear, and more importantly, the reaction to fear to stop the attachment to what we think we want. And instead, we allow the outcomes to teach us how to get to where we think we would be, or more importantly, better. And so if we look introspectively in a compassionate way of understanding ourself, the reconciliation of the mind, the body, and the soul, we can identify the interference or disease by understanding the reaction we have to the fear that we're not in control, that we don't know or understand outcomes today, which creates fear based upon what? Traumas of the past, including past lives and traumas that we have genetically or energetically inherited. And so self-compassion is a very important component of being a ferocious Buddha. The second one is you have to have an open mind, open heart, and open hands in order to keep your options of more than enough open. And I use the five daily practices of knowing each day, what is it that I want in the divine direction, in divine time? Who can I help? Who can help me in the divine direction, in the divine time today? And how can I utilize the 24 hours I'm given today to be as productive, to be as accessible, and as gracious in a ferocious manner in the divine direction, in divine time? So I take non-negotiables like sleep, family, finance, faith, studying time, research on whatever it is, all these different non-negotiables, and then I schedule planned and unplanned time in order to effectuate a trajectory of divine direction with intention. And so if anyone wants those daily practices as well of knowing your what, knowing your who, knowing your how, in order to prioritize your day with self-compassion to apply your why, to clear the disease and to be where you want to be faster and have better outcomes than you even could imagine. Now, the third step is the abundant step. So we have self-compassion, open mind, open heart, open hands. The third one is the abundant. You need to be abundant. You need to believe in more than enough attitude, or more attitude. And you'll hear it in a lot of the intention that I give is, I want to be in that direction, or more, or better, or more. There's more than enough. And in order to do so, you need not only to give, but raise your awareness through compassion and open minds and open hearts and open hands to all that we're given. We have to be open to receiving, because we believe there's more. And then, of course, we ask for even more. And this creates the enough attitude that a ferocious Buddha has. There is no fear. There is no scarcity in a ferocious Buddha. There's just more than enough of everything for everyone. So we look within in introspective self-compassion. And compassion is understanding. And we, of course, keep our open mind, open heart, and open hands using the five daily practices. And then we have a more than enough attitude, more or better or more. We add on to everything, signifying and reminding, remembering, and recollecting that there's more than enough of everything for everyone. The fourth step of becoming a ferocious Buddha is to pursue systems, not goals. Systems are sustainable, goals are not. We don't understand outcomes anyway, so we want to make sure that we're pursuing better systems, not bigger goals. Better systems will allow us to attain in a divine direction, in divine time, better for ourselves than we can even imagine or understand or know. And so I want you to, as we look at the pursuit of happiness, realize that the system that we created for happiness is the pursuit, right? Pursuit is the happiness. And so I want you to change pursuing goals and pursue systems that are aligned in divine direction, in divine time, goals that you think you want or better. And so it's a major paradigm shift, and it takes a while to practice, to pursue systems instead of pursuing goals. And so as we look at being a ferocious Buddha, you can see that the first four ways to be a ferocious Buddha require a lot of effort, a lot of ferocious behavior. And understanding that behavior and understanding the difference between good behavior and bad behavior, by the way, what is good behavior? Good behavior is behavior that is aligned with where you think you want to be or better. And bad behavior is that interferes with it. And good behavior creates one result that we do understand. No, it's called good progress. Bad behavior, behavior that interferes with where we want to be or better, it creates one result that's instantaneous and obvious, which is bad progress, which is indicated by your reaction to fear, which is instant and obvious. When you're angry, it's instant and obvious. When you're worried, it's instant and obvious. When you're separate, it's instant and obvious. When you're inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful, it's instant and obvious. Good progress is not instant and obvious. Fear itself may not be instant and obvious. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, depending on which trauma is evoking the reaction. But the interference is instant and obvious. And we know that good behavior is only behavior that's aligned with where we want to be in a divine time and a divine direction. And it's creating good progress towards that. And good progress will aggregate, accelerate, and compound because that energy aggregates, accelerates, and compounds. And bad behavior does the same thing. So let's focus in on pursuing the systems that create that progress, not attaching our emotions to goals. The systems itself inherently will have goals because the systems are built in a trajectory, in a divine action, what you think you want or better. So if I want to buy a penthouse in downtown San Diego, I'm going to pursue systems that allow me to buy a penthouse downtown San Diego or better. And I'm going to learn from the interference or disease as it is presented in an instant and obvious way called our reaction to fear, which is anxiety, frustration, depression, separation, inferiority, superiority, worry, guilt, anger, all those things. The fifth way to become a ferocious Buddha is to look at our unwillingness to do things versus our inability to net. Are we unwilling to do what it takes to live in the empty mile, to be consistent and persistent in the pursuit of the systems that will get us to where we want to be or better? Or are we just interfering with where we want to be or better and having that unwillingness or incapability of connecting? So look to see. When I said, you know, we have to be annoying to others because we have to tell the truth and have to be so repetitive in order for human beings to learn, especially children, we have to be annoying. But even worse, we have to be annoying to ourselves, to be honest with ourselves, and to be repetitive with ourselves, to do things every day that we may not like or may not love until we learn to like or love, and it becomes inherent in our conscious, subconscious, and even our unconscious quantum being. So look for the unwillingness versus our inability to connect to the more than enough of everything for everyone. Six, how do we become a ferocious Buddha? The sixth way is to embrace the truth, embrace vulnerability. So many people are afraid of to being vulnerable, to being truthful, especially to themselves. So they live in their own illusion, which is supported by the 80% of your subconscious thoughts, supported by subconscious thoughts that create reality out of illusion. And so we need to embrace vulnerability. Not just try to be vulnerable. You need to embrace the truth of yourself and the truth to others, to be annoying and repetitive, and disciplined every single day, so that the conscious continuum, the cellular memory that you have, the repetitive nature will pick up in memory and communicate with subconscious, transforming your illusions into a accelerant towards where you want to be or better, and eventually activating your unconscious being, who you are, your frequency, your essence. And the only way to do that, to be a ferocious Buddha, you have to embrace vulnerability. You have to elevate the dummy tax that you've paid, because everybody else has paid it as well. It will bond you into the unified system of thought that we all belong to. You will realize there is only one self. There's not two. There's no separation of the mind, the body, and the spirit. There's simply one self. And in order to effectuate the mind, which is streaming information at all times, and you are creating buffering of that information with the dis-ease of being or not being. Embrace vulnerability of what you want to become. Embrace vulnerability in order to become what you want to become, or better. The seventh way that we become a ferocious Buddha is to look in unresolved or unaware attachments only can be recognized or remembered by the reaction of fear. So we have to realize that in order to be ferocious Buddha, to utilize our free will to move in a divine direction of where we want to be or better in divine time, that we have to recognize, remember that there are unresolved, or we are unaware of outcomes, and we are unaware of the dis-ease between us and the outcomes that we want or better. And understanding the dis-ease will help us in order to elevate our awareness to what it is that's unresolved or that we're unaware of. I will repeat that human beings are incapable of understanding outcomes. If we are incapable of understanding or knowing outcomes, then why do we attach to them? Well, the reason that we attach to an outcome is that it resolves the unawareness of fear, that we don't know what we don't know, that we have to have faith. And it's something that's inherent in all of us, is that there has to be some substance of faith, or else we will live in interference, dis-ease, and fear. And so looking at the unresolved or unaware attachments that we have, that can be indicated by fear or the reaction of fear, then if we work and practice on that, then we can create that Buddha side, that Zen side of being in control by not being in control. We are in control by not being in control. That's the only way that you can be in control, because there's so many billions of variables and things that change, and the human capability, the mind and the body's capability, the mind streaming information, body executing on that information, requires to be in spirit. And if you are required to be in spirit, inspired, then you have to have faith, which is why faith is the number one thing to be a ferocious Buddha. This doesn't work. All seven of those criteria to be a ferocious Buddha requires you to have faith. Now, we'll finish up here in the last minute with some tips on dissipating attachment. You'll never dissolve it. You'll never dissolve fear. You'll never dissolve the fear that you're not in control, but you can dissipate that. So one is the difference between capitulation, which is active faith, and surrender, which is actually passive quitting. I want you to capitulate what you want, not surrender to the outcomes. I want you to capitulate in active faith, the idea of I am going to end up somewhere better because of the outcomes that I experienced today. Two, life is as it actually is, not how you or others think it should be. That's how we dissipate the interference or dissipate our attachment, is remind ourselves when outcomes occur that we don't understand or know, my life is actually as it is for the betterment of everyone in an abundant, unified system of thought, not how you or others think it should be. That has nothing to do with being a ferocious Buddha or where you want to be or better. And finally, life unfolds in a divine direction and divine time. Reiterating, reminding, recollecting, remembering that you must have faith to be a ferocious Buddha. You must be extremely ferocious in the seven activities in order to effectuate the outcomes that you want or better. But that is capitulation of outcomes, not surrendering. You are not in control. Our control is over the divine direction and divine time by paying attention, giving intention to what we want, by using the seven ways to be ferocious and to allow the better outcomes to occur with self-compassion, open mind, open heart, and open hands, an abundant attitude of more than enough, being able to pursue systems, not goals, looking at unwillingness versus the inability to connect, embracing vulnerability, and understanding the unresolved or our lack of awareness to the attachments that can be recognized, remembered, or recollected. Utilize these seven steps and the three tips in order to detach or dissipate detachment of outcomes, and you will, with faith and wisdom, be a ferocious Buddha. If anybody wants to learn more about being a ferocious Buddha, I have a ferocious Buddha guide for all of you, and exercises to work through these seven different criteria in the three tips to dissipate attachment. Hopefully it brought some enlightenment to a very difficult thing to understand. I will be and continue to be annoying. And so I appreciate my community, our network, our neighborhood for appreciating the annoyance of one, trying my best to articulate the truth, and two, to be as repetitive as I can. And I want you to be empowered to do the same thing for your family, friends, and associates in the world. Let's all be annoying so that we all end up in a better place, in a better position, with divine direction and divine time. It is not a bad thing. It is a good behavior to be annoying in the respect of telling the truth and being repetitive.